Lavo Show Podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Prem Arpana. Arpana took sannyas in 1979 and is an artist and writer. Before taking sannyas, Arpana was involved in local politics and was invited to be a candidate for the British Labour Party, the first step in becoming an MP. After meeting Osho, Arpana moved from a wildly extrovert life towards a hermit-like existence. Arpana, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to talk to you. Very pleased to be here.
Okay, great. To start, tell us a bit about how you came across Osho.
In the mid-70s, I, as one does, became friends with a guy called Roy. A couple of years later, he turned up at my flat dressed in ochre with a set of beads around his neck, and I was completely responsive and receptive to this, but not drawn to it. And then a few years later, which would have been 1979, I was going through a very difficult time. And I think it was a lot to do with the truth is that youth was coming to an end. I'd stopped drinking, stopped doing drugs, and I was looking for where I went next. And I had him on my mind, and I was wondering about gurus and so on. And I saw him drive past me in a car, but he lived in London. And I was in the pub that I used that evening, and he turned up looking for me. And he told me about Osho, or Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. And I wrote his name down, and he said that I could write to him. And I did, and I really poured my heart out. I got a letter back inviting me to go and telling me there was a centre nearby. And that centre had been near me for at least 4 years, and I didn't know about it. There were people in malas and red clothes wandering around where I lived, and I'd never seen them. And suddenly it was like I found a door into another world, really, which I've lived in ever since. I have to say I've got a bit of a lump in my throat remembering it. It's not something I talk about very much. Anyway, there you go.
It's so beautiful that we have a chance to discuss this now, and thanks for opening up. So you came into contact with sannyasins, and this new world opened up in your life. And then you went to India to meet Osho. So talk us through this transition.
Well, first of all, I got a letter which told me what Kundalini was, and I did Kundalini on my own without music. Then I started to go over the center, and I started to borrow books, and I just devoured discourses. And I was doing Kundalini, good God, 4 times a day. And I was working and cycling back from work to do it. And I kept telling myself I ought to hold back. I was too impulsive, but my impulsiveness got the better of me. And I just set about getting money, and I got myself there as soon as I possibly could, really. And I don't know if it makes any sense to you, that distinction between doing and things happening. I'm not sure I had any control over it. It happened. I'm absolutely certain I could not have stopped this. From the moment it kicked off, I was swept along in something that just happened. And I suspect that what happens, one's ego momentarily collapses or shrinks, and other things, the heart takes over, the spirit takes over. I'm quite close to tears again. I don't talk about it very much. There was my life, and then this happened, and I was always frightened it would end. And Osho's always been there. I'm sorry, Swaram, I'm a bit uncomfortable about this.
No worries at all. Actually, it's very beautiful that you go back to those memories, and it really gives us a sense of how meaningful was this meeting with Osho and the sannyas world.
It's just gone on for so long. I never take him for granted, and I'm always so conscious of it. But suddenly to talk about it and remember, the lights came on. And I'd had a rich life. I've had an interesting life, but I was very, very bogged down. And the light came on. I remember doing a dynamic the very first time, and God, I had never known what bliss was before. I was in a state of bliss for a couple of days, and the day I decided I was going to take sannyasa, I was just blissed out all day. And I don't actually like using those words. I think they get overused horribly, but I was absolutely blown away. It's extraordinary, really. One of the things that's happened to me over the years is that the relationship with the sense of the relationship with him just actually feels more and more personal. You know, I have a picture of him in my imagination. And if I read things he's said, it feels, as we grow up, we internalize our parents, don't we? And he's displaced everybody and everything like that. And I've internalized him. And I experience him as alive still. I mean, I know rationally he's not alive, of course, but I experience him as alive. He's completely alive and a caring, wise, good, generous, insightful. And I think the wonderful thing about him and the wonderful thing he has to offer for anybody who comes to him is that he's always adaptive to wherever you are at any time. And as you evolve, as we evolve, as I evolved, he changed. The very first book I read was Roots and Wings. And I must have read that book 10 times. And each time I've read it, it's different. As I changed, I find something else in it, which is how his... I'm reading the Darshan Diaries at the moment. And I've read them, what, 4 times? And the one I'm on at the moment, I keep coming across passages I have no memory of at all that address me. So, yes, very much a living presence in my life, really. Well, you know, the most important person in the world to me. But he's also given me that I'm important as well to me. Not, you know, I'm not important in the world. I'm nobody. I'm just an ordinary man. But I'm allowed to be. We are allowed to be important to ourselves. We're allowed to value ourselves. We're allowed to love ourselves. We're allowed to care for ourselves. We're allowed to respect ourselves. We're allowed to approve of ourselves. We're allowed to be on our side. We don't ever have to be on anyone else's side against ourselves once we become sannyasins. And then that comes with learning balance and being sensitive to other people's needs and space and, you know, not being a bully. Oh, my God, what have you done? I didn't realize this is going to affect me like this.
I guess that just shows how powerful was the impact of Osho in your life. And for me, it's simply, asking you a question and opening the tap. And I don't know if this is too much, but let's see if you can go back to the time when for the first time you saw Osho in person.
In those days, you had introductory darshans, and he would ask you questions. And my name was called, and I went forward, and I just went blank. And believe you me, Swaram, if anybody who had known me at that time found out that I was silenced, they wouldn't have believed it. I could talk the hind leg off a bloody donkey. And I didn't have my glasses on, so he was a blur. I'm quite short-sighted. And then they had to pick me up, and I just sat in a heap by the wall for about an hour. I couldn't move. And then on the other occasions I met him, I did groups, and so I met him through groups. And I couldn't speak, but I just, by then, the internal chattering was overwhelming. It's almost funny looking back on it. He's just spectacular. I mean, the lights were on him, I suppose, and that made him luminous. It's just so hard to express how it touches you. I mean, I suppose I was quite the intellectual when it started, and you just face as this person, good God, you know, and it's just whatever I thought about anything before then, and there's this extraordinary presence. I just feel like I'm waffling now. I'm getting a bit lost for words.
Have you had any personal one-to-one meetings with Osho, or have you got any direct guidance from Osho? For example, did you ask him questions, perhaps questions that he used to reply in public, or anything in private that he told you?
No. All my, I feel that I've had endless personal guidance from him through the discourses, constantly. I'll tell you, this is a story that really, I think it quite shook me at the time. After I returned from India, Pune, I went through them, and it lasted about a year. In my experience, we have honeymoon periods, and then what I call the shit hits the fan. And I went through a period that lasted about a year, where I was torn between, if you like, the personality I developed up until I met him, and this new Arpana that had emerged up until during that first year and a half or so. And I went through about a year when I was torn between these two. And it was awful. I mean, it was hellish. Hence the riding two horses at once, just pulled both ways, pulled back to the old life, pulled to the new life. And I got through it. I survived it. Although I went through something similar again, but it didn't last that long. And about 5 or 6 years ago, I came across a question in a Darshan diary, and Osho described in 1977 to a Swami, and he told him what he was going to go through, how difficult it was going to be. And he described in 1977 in detail the experience I went through. And bear in mind, in 1977, I hadn't met him, I hadn't heard of him. And he described in detail to this Swami what I went through in 1981 to the letter. He warned this Swami what was to come. I mean, at the time, reading it really shook me. I mean, it was an extraordinary thing, really. And it happens all the time, you know, reading, coming across something he said years before and feeling personally addressed by him. And the last time I actually saw him in person was 2 days before he left and disappeared to go to Oregon.
I think what you just said is very significant, because Osho speaks to an individual answering the question, but at the same time that answer is somehow universal. And even if Osho is no more physically present answering questions, but he answers perhaps all the possible questions that the human mind can ask.
That's true. Yes. Whatever nonsense we can come up with, he sees it coming. But actually, it's kinder than that, isn't it, really? He understands the things that people go through when they strive for something higher. And I mean, my image of him is, as I've moved through life since it started, he's always there. And I did actually go through a spell from Pune onwards where I didn't actually read him for about 5 years. But it didn't seem to matter what I was going through. I would hear his voice in my head saying something. And I look back on it and I think that I had, because I'd gone into meditation, I had got lost, as it were, in the maze of my mind. And I'd got there because of him, because of meditation. But I found my way out of it because of him and because I meditated. He, you know, I don't so much think he showed me the way as he walked beside me and he, as it were, whisper in my ear, if you don't open your eyes, you're going to trip over. Or if I tripped over, he'd say, don't worry, it's okay, keep going. Are you with me? I mean, it's much more complex that, but it's also that simple and direct. Though he was always there. It didn't seem to matter what I was going through. Something would come to me and it would keep me going. And also one of the other things that one eventually learns in the long term, God, we make mountains out of molehills. You know, there's just this solid, reassuring presence constantly reminding you that it's not that important, really. You know, it's okay to have a glass of wine occasionally. The world will not come to an end.
It sounds like you do a lot of introspection. I understand you have been keeping a journal for 35 years. which started, I guess, since after meeting Osho. When you look at your journal, I don't know if you did that, but if you look at the 35 years span since you started till today, what do you see there?
What I think happens to us as we go through life, we develop a story of our life. And I think that's connected to ego. And we remember all the things that happened to us in life that support our ego. And so when I came to sannyas, I had a lot of conflict between a false sense of self-importance and coupled up against a very negative ego, a very bad self-image. And what meditation does, but very particularly journaling, you start to get a sense of perspective. So this really took off for me when I wrote about an experience I had, that a course I did in the 70s. And I'd, because of my immaturity, I'd left there feeling very negative about it. But when I wrote it down, I started to remember all the good things that happened. And because I remembered all the good things that happened, it made the bad things seem much less bad. And then as I went deeper into it, I realized a lot of the things that I saw as bad were because I'd been drinking too much. So I'd got paranoid. So they were even less bad than I thought originally. And I also started to realize that a lot of the things that we tend to remember things that we see as bad because they support our ego. And I just started, I've increasingly come to realize through writing that, yes, I've had some difficult things happen in my life and I've had successes, but there's nothing particularly special about them. So what I'm saying is the process of journaling and writing, which I must add, I also do because I take great pleasure in putting pen to paper. I actually like the act of handwriting, which I then transcribe. And I've changed my life story, really. The point I'm basically making, and it's possibly a lot of what sannyas can give you and meditation give you, is you get a sense of perspective and you start to be able to juxtapose the good things, the warm things, the caring stuff against the difficulties. And you have to make an effort to do this because we live in a world that fixates on the negative. It will, you've only got to read the papers. People can find fault at Olympic standard. You know, we live in a world where the media, the press are constantly glasses half empty. And I think meditation, sannyas, the relationship is with Osho has enabled me to see things so differently. Actually, here's a little story. I was standing at the waiting for a bus at the bottom of what's called Harborne Road, where I live. And it started to rain, spring rain. And suddenly the rain stopped. The clouds cleared a bit and this blast of sunlight came out from behind the clouds and caught the rain, the moisture in the air. I mean, it was breathtaking. And as you look up this hill, on both sides of this hill, there's a canopy of trees. And a woman standing next to me started to moan about the raining. And I wasn't rude to her. I just pointed upwards and I said, look at that. And she actually thanked me for pointing out how beautiful this was. That came out of sannyas and meditation. It gave me eyes to see what's there. We live our lives torn between what we think's going on, what we think should be going on, and then there's what's really going on. And meditation, sannyas, Osho, is an opportunity to get a glimpse of what really is going on rather than live in that conflict between what we think should be going on and what we think is going on.
I also have the same experience of being much more positive and up to life. I guess it springs out from the very effect of meditation that, yes, you know, you just feel good and then you naturally tend to connect with the higher vibration and look at the positive sides of things. And then, of course, Osho's approach is very life affirmative, and there is a lot of dance and celebration and jokes. So in addition to that inner state that you get out of the practice of meditation, there is also that context of Osho that is in favor of taking life with a pinch of irony and laughter and the non-seriousness.
I mean, I used to be very left-wing. I used to feel bloody guilty because I had a decent place to live, for God's sake. I lived in my head. Here's a story I've just remembered that makes the point. And I think it illustrates the world we live in this sense. I went to art school late, and I was walking up from art school one afternoon, and I just finished a painting, and I was absolutely delighted with it. I was on such a high. And I ran into someone I vaguely knew and who asked how I was, as people do, not a sannyasin. And I told this character that I was just buzzing because I'd just finished a painting I'd worked so hard off. And he told me off for being so selfish as to be up and excited and high about my painting. This was a younger guy. He told me off and told me I was selfish. And because of Sannyasin Osho, I just looked at him and said, well, okay, and left. But I don't go back to people like that anymore. They only get one chance.
One thing I've learned with Osho is to connect with the people that help you to raise your vibrations and just naturally leave out those who drag you down.
And the other thing, Swirl, it occurs to me, I don't think that I judged him, because that brings you down as well. I just accepted it and I walked left. I didn't tell him off. I didn't make a meal of it. But I think it was part of a process of me being able to be clearer and clearer that it's okay to only hang out with people that I want to hang out with. And I'm also, I mean, I spend a lot of time on my own, which suits me. And I'm older, I don't want the company I've done. But I think one of the things it's also given me is the strength to deal with being alone sometimes too long, rather than sell myself short and compromise and pretend to be something I'm not. But I don't also, my sense of judging people has gone. I don't want to sound that I'm judging people who are not sannyasins. I don't want to sound as if I'm judging people who don't know how to dance in the rain. Because I think that equally that if you can dance in the rain and you judge those who cannot dance in the rain, then you're poisoning your own joy of being able to dance in the rain. God, I sounded so English then.
And I love it. You know, there is so much beauty in it. And I love the image of dancing in the rain. And
here's a quick story for you. I worked in Vipassana, and there was an early monsoon rain came down one afternoon. It hammered down. And we were looking in the go-down, and three girls came past dancing in the rain. And it happened completely spontaneously. I don't know how many of us there were. We all leapt out from the go-down and went and joined the girls, and we all danced together in the rain. It was absolutely wonderful.
That's great and beautiful. And then, yes, I guess if you're really into the dance, you have no energy and time to judge. Otherwise, it means that you are moving into the mind. So we discussed that Osho is clearly very much available today, but at the same time, his physical presence is no more. And you had the opportunity to be with him and to live with him whilst he was in the body. What would you like to say to future generations about you and Osho, something that stays in the record?
I'm absolutely certain that Osho has set things up so that he is as available to all of you as he was to us. Don't think that you've missed. You have not missed. You are not missing. You have to trust me on this. You have everything available to you if you meditate and engage with his discourses as we had. It's that simple. But you have to take it on trust. I can't prove it, but I am sure of it. But meditation and engaging with the discourses is all important. And I don't have a lot of contact actually with sannyasins, and I have to say, I'm aware of myself talking in a certain way, and it's because I just feel a sense of trust in you, Swaram. I mean, if I'd have told that story about dancing in the rain to, say, people I once knew, they would have mocked me. Whereas I know it's okay to tell you, you know? I know it's okay to share. I know it's okay for you to hear that tears. That's okay. Whereas people who are not sannyasins don't get things like that. I ran into a friend of mine from Pune in the city about 5 years ago, and I just stood there in the high street looking at each other, and we stood there and cried face to face. Two bloody grown men crying in the main shopping street for about 5 minutes, and then we went off and got a coffee and a couple of Danish pastries and talked for an hour.
That's beautiful. And I mean, when you say that you dance in the rain, I do the same. So I have the same experience. And I also happen to cry when I share about my intimate things. And when I think of Osho many times, you know, I have something moving inside. So yeah, that's the beauty of connecting with people heart to heart. And especially if we have that same connection with Osho, it can go even deeper. I really thank you for what you just said before about Osho being available today. Even though, of course, I think that we did miss him in the physical form and there is nothing that can bring that back. But at the same time, it warms my heart and it gives me lots of confidence to hear from you that he is still available today. And that's, in fact, my experience. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing and I wouldn't be living my life the way I do if it wasn't for Osho.
There were a lot of people who were at the ashram and they didn't get the connection that people who came later, different generations, have got. You should bear that in mind. Not everybody was the ashram connected. And again, no judgment. I desperately don't want to come across as judgmental. But they didn't. You know, I know people who were at the ashram and as soon as it was over, that was it for them. And also people who've quit sannyas and are quite negative about it. I mean, it isn't all dancing in the rain. But they don't know what they're missing.
I think you're absolutely right. The way I understand it with Osho, and I think he said it on various occasions, it's a love affair, and love knows no limits. So I can be in love with Osho today, or you may have met him and not be in love with him. So I guess that's the key.
I cannot imagine if you'd have been the same age as me, you wouldn't have taken sannyas then. You'd have jumped in then. There are people taking sannyas now, and you strike me as one of them. I've met others who seem to me quite obviously would have taken sannyas and worn a mala and red clothes.
Absolutely. And that's why I love talking to the original sannyasins, because that's how I feel. Those guys who dropped everything to be with Osho. I mean, if Osho were in the body today, I would just drop everything and go to be with him. And that's exactly the feeling I get when I talk to you, to the people who are with Osho in the body. And that's how I resonate so much, and I love it.
I've just got such a big smile on my face at the moment. I'm in such a warm space. I'm feeling such warmth. Thank you. Thank you for the invite. And I don't know quite what I thought would happen, but it's just lovely, 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 fantastic to talk about it to someone who's receptive.
That's a beautiful thing about Osho that I experience all the time. Even just talking about Osho with people who are in love with Osho, it creates a certain atmosphere and energy, and the heart starts moving. Likewise, thank you so much for this beautiful sharing. So we are heading towards the end, and then normally I have three final questions I ask all the guests on the show. But before that, is there anything else you would like to add?
I think to be a sannyasin is about authenticity. It's not about being nice. My feeling is a lot of people who get involved with meditation get trapped in the idea that to be a spiritual person, someone who meditates, is to be nice. It isn't. Sometimes you have to draw lines in the sand. Sometimes hugging someone's appropriate. And sometimes telling someone to fuck off is appropriate. If you don't like me swearing, I don't mind you withdrawing that. but you have to be able to do both. And I think to be one of Osho's people is to be able to move between both. You know, you don't want to be going around looking for fights all the time, but you have to allow yourself to say thus far and no further to people. That's hard work. That's hard earned experience talking as well, Swaram, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not about always trying to please everyone, be nice to everyone. Obviously, I have personally this feeling that I also don't want to hurt anyone. Any negative energy I have or any anger and violence should not be directed to any other human beings or animals or the environment. But at the same time, it's very important to be able to set your boundaries. And if someone is stepping in and I don't like that, fuck off. Yeah, that's fine.
I struggle with that word boundaries because it's so jargony, but there are so many problems arise for human beings, for me as an individual. I see it going on all around me. People, we have to learn to set boundaries. We have to give ourselves permission to set boundaries, and we have to learn to do it in a way that's not cruel or vindictive. But if we don't have to sell ourselves down the river to stop someone else feeling pain, you know, I think it's a funny thing. I don't know that I've ever actually discussed the notion of boundaries with sannyasins before, but I think it's enormously important.
Okay, Alpanas, I've got three final questions for you. First one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
I wake up about 6:45. I go and put the kettle on, open the curtains, move around, make a cup of coffee, get my computer going, look at the painting I was working on the day before, decide, am I going to do something immediately or later? Then I sit at my computer, open, check through emails, check through various things, and then I handwrite a page. Then I go and have some breakfast, maybe do some painting, make another cup of coffee, just walk around the flat for a bit. Then I come back and I use a program called Dragon Dictation Nuance, and I dictate the page I've written into my computer and polish it up a little bit. And I'll work on it about 3 or 4 times throughout the day, along with notebooks that I transcribe, because I make notes of insights throughout the day in journals. And then I get myself moving, get washed and cleaned, and go out.
The second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
It's changed, actually, over the years. I mean, I think dynamic is amazing. And I actually did it for such a length when I haven't done it for years, partly because I'm riddled with arthritis, it would kill me. But I actually did it for one very long period of time, to the point where it ceased to be hard. I actually just flowed into it, which was amazing. It had a real impact on me. I use gibberish nowadays. During the lockdown, there's been odd moments. I just thought I was going to burst with unused energy. Basically, I just needed a good chat with someone. And I'll do 5 minutes gibberish, things like that. But gibberish is my fallback. But one thing I've also learned about meditation, I went through a spell where I would do 5 minutes gibberish and then I would do Vipassana. And I am not someone who sits still that easily. And it makes such a difference, that 5 minutes that five minutes gibberish preceding Vipassana. And then another very good meditation is walking miles alone in the rain. And if it rains heavily and no one's looking, you can do the dancing meditation in the rain. I don't know why telling you that story about dancing in the rain has really tickled my imagination. A picture of myself dancing in the rain keeps coming back to me.
It's a wonderful picture, so I love it. The last question is, you live the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today?
Privileged. Freed of being a slave to the opinions of others, being able to care about myself without thinking myself overly important, creativity, being a man and not being afraid to cry, not being afraid to be warm, not being afraid to be affectionate, not being afraid to be kind, not being afraid to tell people to fuck off sometimes, being so much more down to earth. My next door neighbor doesn't know anything about meditation, him and his wife. They're what's white working class people. I have never laughed so much in the company of others as I have with those two in my life. They're older than me. And we regularly will sit and chat and laugh our heads off. And I don't think that I'd have been receptive to them at one time. You know, I don't care if they're sannyasins or not. I love them. That's part of what Osho's given me.
Wow, I love this ending. I think the art of being able to be at ease and have fun with people, regardless, you know, if they're sannyasins or not, if they do meditation or not, just being able to connect and laugh and have a good time with people, I think is a great sign of maturity and being at ease with oneself. And I think is a great image that we can end the podcast with.
Can I just tell you one quick story that I read that I absolutely loved, and I know that you'll like this. It was a story about a guy who was into being spiritual, and he was seeking the meaning of life. And I am now filling up at the thought of this. I love this story. And he said one afternoon he was out for the walk, and he was so unhappy, a cloud hung over his head. And as he walked down by the river, he saw a group of Hungarian men with their guitars and their wine and their children and their wives singing and dancing happily together. And he said he then knew what the meaning of life was.
Wonderful. I love this story. Okay, Erpana, thank you so much for being part of the Love Osho podcast. It's been a real pleasure connecting with you, chatting with you. I really feel like it's been a sort of heart-to-heart connection and conversation. It's a little bit different from the usual chats, and it's been a great variation, and I really love it. It's very spontaneous. I didn't really expect it to go this way, and so, you know, really thank you so much.
For what it's worth, Swaram, here's one last thing for you. I have been able to talk to you because of you as well. If you'd have been a brick wall, I wouldn't have been able to be so spontaneous. So this is a two-way thing, okay? It's not just me.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Lots of love and a big hug.
You too, my friend. Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.